Good morning. If you looked at the program, you noticed that the topic this morning is about being consumed. That's kind of going to be a series, I think, because there's so many different directions that you can go with the topic of being consumed. It was kind of a late idea about having a tree drawn behind me, so I'm not going to do that. But that, if you could imagine that the base of the tree is the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ, and all the branches are the members, we're all intertwined somehow. Almost probably about 95% of us are related somehow, some way. There's just a handful of people that aren't related in some way, whether through marriage or otherwise. And there are some people that are brought in, and that's what we would call fruitfulness of being good examples and bringing other people in one way or another, whether it's influence on friends or otherwise. The first scripture I want to talk about is in John 15, and starting with verse 4, says, "Abide in me, and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I am him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whoever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father glorify that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you also. Abide in my love." We need to abide in Christ and be consumed in our love towards each other, just as God loves us. And if for those that were in the class this morning, we were studying in 1 Peter, and there was a lot of scripture in there that goes along with what I'm talking about, being consumed with our love toward each other. And so you got a good head start on what I was about to talk about today. I used to have a lot more different outlook on things before I became a parent. Growing up, I had respect for my grandparents and my parents, but when I became a parent, I had new respect and perspective about what they did and how they did it. I began to be consumed with different concerns and consumed with how I could make sure that my children would learn to love God. Christ has that same concern over us as God does. Christ and God, they both want us to share heaven with them. They want us to accept their grace, which has been extended toward us. This is also the same love that I have toward my children, and being consumed with how I can impress on them the importance of serving God in their own lives. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 9, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest up, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. It hurts me deeply to know the pain of seeing a child choose not to serve God. Just as it does Christ when one of us chooses not to serve Him. He sees this all the time. Every day He sees people that started out being children of Him or had the past set in front of them and had everything set up for them decide not to serve God for one reason or another. I didn't understand my parents' love towards me fully until I became a parent. There is a pain in failure to follow God's desires for us, and that is found in Scripture. One of those is in Matthew 13, verses 41 through 43. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun of the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if we go forward to the 47th verse, it reads again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Luke chapter 12, it talks of how we should think and where our heart should be. Verse 40 speaks of being ready, for we know not what hour He cometh. 49 through 52, it reads, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if I be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it shall be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. There's going to be divisions. People are going to be severed apart from each other, even in family. And it's painful when people choose not to serve God. We need to be consumed with brotherly love and care about each other. We have to be consumed by love for our brothers. So this being consumed makes sense. In 1 John, this is where I'm going to be quite a bit this morning, is in 1 John. The second chapter, verses 10 and 11. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. In 1 John 4, verses 20 through 21, it says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Do we have love for our brothers and sisters? It seems as though we are told to love our brothers and sisters. Every once in a while there are fellowship opportunities with each other, and I think this is one thing that we can do to help each other in this regard, is to attend these things. One problem with not going to these fellowship opportunities is it makes us feel like we have a lack of closeness to each other. If we don't make relationships and we struggle in our faith, people will assume someone else is closer to you and feel like they aren't close enough to have a serious conversation about this. Whether that's the right or wrong way to feel might be debatable. I wanted my children to go to as many of these opportunities as they could. The more you make friends with Christians, they can pull you back in if you step out of line and you're willing to listen to them. If more of your connections in life are outside the body of Christ, your chances of weathering the inevitable storms of life, they will more than likely pull you under if you don't have Christian friends. I have had an example personally along these lines. When I got engaged, I got pulled aside and talked to. The brothers that voiced their concerns about me, taking that step with someone who hadn't been raised in the church, of getting engaged to somebody that hadn't been raised the same way I had. At the time, was I happy about this? No. But our salvation is something not to take lightly. And if we are not on our full guard, we can set ourselves up for failure. Our spouse can greatly affect our salvation if we choose poorly. I'm not upset with them now for saying that they had concerns. Because as ready as you think you might be, there are things that you probably haven't considered. Children is probably the biggest one. How does it affect your children? I have since voiced concerns to some others that I wanted to help. And maybe that didn't come across pleasantly to the people that I said things to. But I want to be in heaven. And I want all my Christian family there with me too. We all need to be willing to listen to correction and examine that if it comes to us. We don't have a perfect life, any of us, and all of us sin. In 1 John 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, "And if ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." These verses are saying that we do not continue in as habitual sinners if we are with God, because our desire to be with him is greater than our desire to participate in a sinful life. If we go in that same chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. "Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one was born of who was born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was with the evil one and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our own lives for our brethren. But whosoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and chooses his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? If we ignore our brethren, then we are not of God. How can we be? And going on, starting with 18. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We shall know by this that we are the truth, and shall assure our heart before him, and whatsoever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. I don't want anything to do with Satan. He may appear to you to show wondrous options, just as he did to Christ in his hours of temptation. Christ was so ingrained in the Word that sin did not appeal to him. These temptations that Satan threw in front of him did not appeal to him. He was able to fight it with Scripture, with the Word of God. When we abide in Christ, we should care for our brothers and sisters and hope that they don't fall into temptation, and help them if we can. If you justify sin in your life, God will allow you to follow a reprobate mind, as we find in Romans, the first chapter, verse 28. Those are the people we read about in 1 John chapter 3. The ones who justify regular sin in their minds are not of God. I was one of those people when I was younger, but a jolt hit me and woke me up. And I needed that, because I was allowing myself to participate in things that I shouldn't be participating in as a Christian on a regular basis. That was not following God. We need to be consumed with love toward each other. In Matthew 5 and 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If we do this, then we need to love our brothers and sisters. If I was to say hi to everyone here in the morning in this building, I would get less response than if I met you during the week at Hy-V, after church, or in some other place. That doesn't seem like love. We need to do something. I wish everybody could care as they should for each other. I could go through a list of people that I think would probably not talk to me at church if I said hi to them, but that shouldn't happen. Not if we love each other. How much do we love each other, and how much do we care? How much do we try to advance our friendships? Not all of us are able to have outgoing personalities and able to make friends and influence people like some other people. And just as we discussed in class, there's some people that just don't connect with us, but we need to love each other. And we need to figure out ways to get beyond our differences and try to make sure that everybody feels like that they're cared about. Because if you don't feel like you're cared about in the church, then you're going to be more likely to look elsewhere for friendship. And those people aren't concerned with your souls. We need to care as much for each other as we do for our own children. It's natural to have more care and concern over our children that we've had big influences over and spent lots of time with. That's only human, but we need to work on caring for everybody equally. And I think that that's something that we can pray and meditate on and think about how we can do this better. At this time, I would like to extend the gospel invitation to anybody that hasn't decided to serve God yet and become a member of this body, which is something I care about to a high degree. If we don't have it, then we have the world. And that isn't the place we want to be. We want to be closer to God, and we want to be closer to each other so we can help each other get where we want to go. If you had things that have stumbled in your, caused you to stumble and not be consumed with your love toward your brethren or consumed with serving God, and we can help you, you have an invitation to take care of those things too as we stand and sing the invitation song.